Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
I'm so excited to preach in this second part of this series, By Hope, that we started last week. And it was so awesome because, you know, I love what was said. It says that everything that is done in this world is done by hope. Martin Luther said that. It was such a great quote, man. Anything in this life that's worth doing is done through hope, man. You can't do stuff based upon what you see in front of you. You got to do stuff based on what you believe in your heart. And we just got faith in Jesus. So we always believe beyond what we can see. We got faith. We don't operate in fear. We operate in faith. So today, in this second part of this By Hope series, I want to read to you a verse. This is actually one of my favorite verses out of Psalms chapter 51, verses 16 through 17. It reads something like this. It says, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want burnt offerings. A sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken spirit and a repentant heart, O God." Some translations say a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Today, on this second part of this By Hope series, I've just entitled this message, this, Breaking Bad. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that was going to be listening to the sound of my voice today. And I pray that when the word goes forth, it will not return void. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace, God. Open hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. God, I pray right now you would strengthen my brothers and sisters where they are. Don't let them lose heart. Don't let them get discouraged. God, help them remember what we talked about last week. God, let them know that they must be strong and courageous because you're going to be with us wherever we go. And God, I pray for the one that needs this message the most. May they get a picture or a revelation of Jesus that they never had before. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, why don't you take about 5 seconds right wherever you are right now and give Jesus some praise. Come on, I'll wait. Come on, come on, come on. Stop acting like you ain't hear me. Okay. Amen, amen. Got to turn up for God at all times. Breaking Bad. About 2002 or so, I was a young man in college, and at that time, it was crazy because I was going through a lot. I used to make and deliver futons. Yeah, the couch beds that you lay on. I used to make them, and then I used to go and deliver them. I was living up in Baltimore, Maryland at the time. And because I had these two jobs, because I was taking all these credit hours, everything was going crazy. I was living on my own. I was trying to pay my rent. I was trying to pay my tuition. I was doing everything that I could do in that time. And I never forget, I was on one delivery. So I had to drive from Baltimore to D.C. because somebody wanted a futon delivered and assembled in their house. And I get in the front lawn of somebody's house. Now, you have to understand, these futons, like the frames and the mattresses, could have been anywhere from like 100 to 130 pounds at a time. So I used to have to take these mattresses and I'd have to kick them up and I'd have to put them on my shoulder to carry them. But this one particular day, man, I don't know what it was, but it was the stress of everything. It was just all coming down on me at once. And as I'm on the front lawn of this person's house and I have this futon on my shoulder, I literally black out. Don't remember anything from the moment. I woke up, might have been 15 minutes later, and literally I'm laid out on the ground with a futon laying on my face. The funny thing is, I don't know how long I was there, but nobody came to help me. It was crazy. So I picked up the mattress. I went into the house. I assembled it. And then I drove back to Baltimore as fast as I could. And I checked myself into the ER. And the doctor said, "Son, I said, yeah, yes, sir. He's like, you got to slow down. You're doing too much, man. You're overwhelmed. I had to have an IV stuck in my arm for the entire night. They had to give me fluids because I was dehydrated. I was burnt out, man. I was messed up. I was trying to do everything at once. And it all just became so overwhelming for me. And I didn't know what else to do. So my body couldn't physically take it anymore. And I experienced what we call a breakdown. Have you ever broken down before? Has the weight of life been so much that you don't even know what to do anymore? Maybe you've had a physical breakdown like I have. Maybe you've had a mental breakdown, man. There's situations in life that cause breakdowns all the time. I mean, I can even imagine with what the world is enduring right now, people are breaking down. And I told you from the beginning of this Buy Hope series that I'm going to inject as much hope into your spirit as possible because, man, the stress of this world is so much to take. And I know that people are breaking down and they don't fully know how to process it. There's moments in life that are going to cause you to break down. Maybe the bills are out of control and doesn't matter how hard you're working, you're bank account is low while your bills are stacked high and you don't know what you're going to do to pay them. Maybe you've done the best you can to take care of yourself, but you're still getting a negative report from the doctor right now. You've done all the workouts, try to eat right, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, but this illness that you have can't be cured and we don't know what we can do. But maybe you're the strong one in your family and everybody's looking for you to hold them up. You know, you're the one with faith. So when everybody has issues, they come to you, but you're broken yourself. You're stressed out yourself and you don't know how much longer you can hold up the rest of your family. Maybe you're just consumed by fear once again, because, man, this stuff with this virus is just getting out of control. Corona has changed the way in which we live, and all this news, every time you hear something, it just stresses you out. Or maybe right now you're fighting for your marriage, but you feel like you're trying to hold on to something, but you're the only one that's trying to hold on to something. Maybe you've been seeking God to help you out and you've been praying, God, please help me, please. You've been petitioning God, but you feel like heaven's just not responding. There's so many different reasons that people have a breakdown, but I want you to hear me, church. I want you to hear me. With all my heart and soul, I want you to hear the promises of God that are said in Psalms 34:18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. I want you to hear me loud and clear when I say what I'm going to say. That brokenness is not a sign of weakness. It's a signal to God that you're ready. You are human. And when you are broken, we serve the God that says, I'm close to the brokenhearted. I respond to brokenness. Brokenness is not a sign of weakness. It's a signal. It alerts heaven. Oh, now that they are broken down, now that they have been humbled, now that they know it's not about them, now that they have nothing else to rely on, they must rely on God. Brokenness is not a sign of weakness. It's a signal to God that you are ready. God allows breakdowns in you to make way for something to break through you. God loves using broken things. But we serve the God that puts broken things back together. You see, there's lessons that we can learn in a breakdown. And nobody models a response to a breakdown better than our God in the form of the man named Jesus. And here are three lessons that you can learn in a breakdown. The first one is this. Lesson number one, mental breakdowns cause you to commit to prayer. Mental breakdowns should cause you to commit to prayer. You say mental breakdown in Jesus, how does that work out? Well, I love the story that we've read so many times in Luke chapter 22. It talks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the weight of the world was literally on his shoulders as he knows he's about to go to the cross, as he knows literally his physical days on this earth are numbered. There's such a weight on him. And the Bible talks about the fact that he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And look what it says. Luke 22, 42 through 44 says, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them. He knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, let your will be done. Verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Verse 44, get this. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Wow. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, you got to get this picture. This is Jesus. This is God in the flesh. And in this moment, he was literally having a mental breakdown. You say, how do you know that? Look at the wording that the gospel choose to use in this moment. Verse 44, it says, being in anguish. That word anguish literally means excruciating or acute distress, suffering, or pain. Jesus was in excruciating pain. And the Bible says so much so that he sweat drops of blood. Well, physicians today would tell you that there's a term for that. It's called hematidrosis. It's when your blood vessels, they burst and the blood begins to exude through your sweat glands. Doctors say this happens in moments of extreme stress and anxiety. So because of the mental stress that Jesus was under at the time, and we know he was under mental stress because there was something that God had wanted him to do that his physical self, his human self did not want to do. So God had to send an angel to strengthen him, but he was under so much stress that his body literally began to bleed and sweat drops of blood. He was under so much mental duress, knowing that the cross was before him. But I love his response, that when he was under such mental anguish that he began to sweat drops of blood, look what it says. It says, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Jesus is modeling the perfect response. There are people right now, mentally, you are breaking down. You don't know which way is up. You don't know what to do. I would tell you to do what Jesus did, that when you are going through a mental breakdown, pray harder. Prayer is not the last line of defense. It should always be the first option. It's the first and the last thing we do. It's the thing that we do at all times. We pray without ceasing. When we are having a mental breakdown, we need to do what Jesus did. We must pray more earnestly. When you're getting in trouble and when you feel like you don't know what to do, I'm here to challenge you, believer. In times like this, we must pray harder. You know, I think a lot of times we allow our brain to fool us and make us believe that situations are harder than they actually are. Have you ever had to do something? You knew you had to do it, but you didn't want to. And it started to give you all kinds of anxiety, started to give you all kinds of stress, started to get anxious about it so much so is that it like physically crippled you and you started to feel weak. You know why? You know why that happens? Because human beings do this thing where we think about what could happen and we allow fear to cripple us. And 9 times out of 10, the things that we feel like will happen never do. Like what most people do is allow what they think to stop them from doing what God has called them to do because they're afraid of what could happen. Stop worrying about things that have not happened yet, because 99.9% of the things that you think will happen will probably never happen. Don't allow the anticipation of pain to weaken you. You need to allow prayer to strengthen you. I'll never forget. Years ago, me and my wife, when we were newly married, we started going on vacations and stuff. And I remember one trip we went to the Grand Canyon. My wife has an adventurous spirit, if you will. She is, lack of a better way to say it, she crazy. Yeah, she be doing crazy stuff. Yeah, sometimes she does crazy stuff. Okay, now here's the thing. My wife will do anything for the right photo opportunity. Me? Not so much. I don't care. I don't need the gram to know what I did. I'm good. You keep a picture. I'm good. My wife, she wants every grammable moment that she can get, and she will do crazy stuff to get it. So we on the Grand Canyon. I'm having a nice time looking at the camera. I'm like, oh, babe, look, God is great. Oh, it's awesome. Look. She's like, yeah, it's good. But we should go and take a shot down there. Now, let me just let you understand something. You don't understand where down there was. See, I was fine looking at the Grand Canyon from behind the railing. Okay? Behind the railing. My wife, no. She wanted to go see the view from down there. Why did my wife think it was okay to see the view from down there? Because she had seen some other people down there. And she was like, oh, look, if we just climb down to where they are, we could get the best picture. I was like, I'm good right here. I don't need to go down there. I like right here. I'm safe right here. My feet are planted right here. Rocks don't slip right here. There's a rail right here. I'm good with right here. My wife said, no, we going. Look, and before I turned my head 1 second, I turned back, my wife was gone. I said, oh, Jesus, she had begun already to climb down to this little peak where people were taking pictures. And I know that I said to love and to cherish better for worse, sickness and in health. I know it was my job to protect her. But when I saw her go down there, I looked at God and I said, man, it's been a great run. It's been a good run. No, I didn't do that, but I was terrified. And then my manhood got challenged because when she was in the middle of going, she was like, look, Terrence, it's kids doing it. I was like, oh, man, now I got to go. Because if I don't go, I'm going to look like I'm soft. So I started going. And my wife is finally gets to the ledge. She's taking pictures. She got people taking pictures for her. She's like, ooh, this is so great. Ooh, Terrence, come down here. Come down and take the picture. Now, I come from behind the rail. I'm terrified. I get challenged. You know, 10-year-old, I'm like, oh, look at him. I'm like, sit down, Johnny. Okay? Don't nobody care about you. I'm a grown man. I'm scared. I can admit that. So I start climbing down. As I'm climbing down, like, I'm freaking out. I'm so, oh my gosh, if this rock slip, oh my gosh, if the wind blow too hard, oh my gosh, I'm not meant for this. Oh, I don't know how to climb rocks. Oh, I come from Carroll City. I'm scared. I'm thinking of everything that could possibly go wrong. And I did the only thing that I knew to do, because all my anxiety was on level 1,000 at the moment. So every step I took, I said, Jesus, I know you love me. I took another step. I said, Jesus, please keep me safe because this crazy woman got me climbing down this rock. I said, Jesus, I started to pray. I was praying and I was climbing. I was praying and I was climbing. I was praying and I was climbing. And as I was praying and I was climbing, I started to get more confident about my climb. So I just kept praying and I kept climbing. I kept praying and I kept climbing. And after a while, after praying and climbing, eventually I got to the same peak that my wife was on. And when I stood on the peak in all of God's glory, I started feeling myself. I felt good because now I got a different vantage point of the situation than I had before. But I would have never got there unless I knew to pray and climb. I want to talk to somebody out there that is in a deep, crazy mental situation right now and you've allowed fear to cripple you. I want you to do what I did in your situation right now. If the mountain looks too high, don't worry. All you got to do is keep praying and keep climbing. Keep praying and keep climbing. Keep praying and keep climbing. Because here's the thing. If God don't move that mountain, you better pray that he gives you the strength to climb. I believe that when we pray, God gives us power to overcome the obstacles that cripple us. If you believe it, say amen. Don't let the mental anxiety and a mental breakdown stop you. When you get in a situation where your mental wants to cripple you, you just keep praying and keep climbing. Keep praying and keep climbing, and eventually God will get you to to where you have to go. If you believe that, say amen. Mental breakdown should cause you to commit to prayer. Second lesson that we learn from Jesus, that physical breakdowns should cause you to submit to the purpose of pain. I just like talking about my wife because she's hot, but we've been through a lot together. A couple years back, you know, she used to be into martial arts. You know, she was doing that to get in shape and all that. She fine. She do everything she got to do to stay fine. But one martial arts class, she was like doing her karate kicks, and she kicked the bag in such a way as to where she hurt her foot. And I felt so bad because I saw her go to the ground so quick. So I grabbed her up. We went to the hospital, went to the emergency room. The doctor looks at her ankle and he gets an x-ray. And when he brings the x-ray back to us, we see that there's a hairline fracture in her ankle. And the doctor looks at us, says, "Well, ma'am, you have a fractured ankle. That's where the cause of your pain is coming from." And I never forget what he said next. He says, "Your ankle is fractured." And he said, "You'll heal. You'll get through it. But it would be better if your ankle was broken as opposed to being fractured, because broken things grow back stronger than fractured things." Let me ask you a question. Are you broken or are you fractured? Too many people live fractured lives instead of broken lives and wonder why they're always walking around in pain. I love how the apostle talks about Jesus at the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, 24. He says, "And this is my body, which is fractured for you." No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Jesus says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He didn't go halfway. He went all the way. Why? Because he understood the purpose of his pain. So many of us are walking around in these fractured lives, and we think just because we can move a little bit, just because we could thug it out and go through the pain, we think that we're actually making it. And the problem is with walking around having a fractured life is you're actually doing more harm to yourself than good. And there's a big difference between being fractured and being broken. See, fractured people live with a fear that it might get worse. Broken people know, man, it can't get any worse. The only place I can go is up from here. Fractured people live with a constant nagging pain, while broken people may be stuck for a little bit, but they always come back stronger. Fractured people, they have a little bit of motion, so they think they're still getting somewhere, so they live under this illusion that they're okay, while broken people know, man, something's wrong. I need help. And they ask for help. You see, there's a big difference between movement and momentum. Movement, the act of moving. Momentum, the force and the speed of movement. Do this right now, right wherever you are. I want you to just wiggle your foot. Just wiggle it around. You're sitting down, wiggle it, wiggle it. Come on. Yep, wiggle it. Good. You can move your foot, right? It's great. You know what that's called? That's called movement. Now, let me ask you a question. You're moving your feet, right? Yeah. You wiggling? Mm-hmm. You moving your feet? Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Yep. Let me ask you. Are you walking? No. Just because you're moving your feet does not mean you are walking. You have movement in your feet, but you do not have momentum because your feet have not applied pressure or applied force to the ground in order for you to walk. Do not be fooled by the little bit of movement that you may have right now to make you think that you're doing something, because just because you're moving does not mean that you have momentum. Fractured people live with this illusion. I want somebody to understand that in your brokenness, in your physical pain, there is a purpose to your pain. Allow God to break you, because we serve the God that can put broken things back together. You see, it's not just that you learn from your physical breakdowns and they'll allow you to submit to the purpose of your pain, but lesson number three is probably the most important of all, that spiritual breakdowns will cause you to submit to your father. Submit to your father. You see, the definition of a spiritual breakdown, we talked about mental breakdowns, we talked about physical breakdowns, which Jesus experienced both of, but then there's a spiritual breakdown. The definition of a spiritual breakdown is one word, sin. 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 For the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. And you have to understand that Jesus did not just experience a mental breakdown, did not just experience a physical breakdown. He literally experienced a spiritual breakdown, the same one that you and I have experienced from birth. If all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we also hear what the word says, that, man, we were born in sin. We've had a sin problem. We've had a spiritual breakdown from the beginning, because sin literally means separation, separation from God. And I see the picture of Jesus on the cross after he's in the garden and he experiences the mental breakdown, after he experiences the physical pain of having to carry his cross, and he stretched out, hands pierced, arms open wide. Spiritually, there's a turn, there's a shift in him. And Matthew 27:46 says, about 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, the Son of God, is experiencing separation from God, spiritual separation, because he's experiencing sin, not his sin. He was perfect, but he's experiencing our sin, all of the sin of the world, past, present, and future. It's coming upon Jesus in this moment. And the Bible says that our God, the Creator God, cannot look upon iniquity. He cannot look upon sin. So as his head turns from his son, seeing his father distant from him, says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, the Son, feels separation from God the Father. Why? Because if Jesus had not experienced every single aspect of the human condition he created, he would not be qualified to redeem what he had created. He had to experience all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's important that Jesus felt this. It's important that he had feelings. He was God, and he could have chose not to feel the weight of the cross, but he chooses. He chooses to feel the cross and the separation of sin. You see, I don't have any context of what it feels like to be a drug addict. I don't have any context of what it feels like to be a murderer. I don't have any context of what it feels like to be abusive or an adulterer. But by taking on all of our sins, Jesus does. Jesus does. Because he didn't just die for you. He died as you. He took all the sin of the world on him at the same time. And he dies on a cross, the death of a criminal, with all the physical torment and mental torment due to the human condition of a sinful nature. And he also has to deal with the spiritual separation from his father, because his own father couldn't even look at him. See, Jesus was not broken because he was good. He was broken because he was bad. You say, wait, Jesus is not bad. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, in that moment, with all the sin of the world on him, it says God made him who had no sin to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus just did not take your sins. He became your sin. He became the epitome of separation from God, so that we, he that knew no sin became sin for us, so that we will become the righteousness of God. It's funny how sin has been broken off of us for Jesus, but we haven't broken from sin. See, Christ's spiritual breakdown led to our eternal breakthrough. If he had not been broken, we would never be able to break through. So how do you and I today overcome a spiritual breakdown? How do we overcome sin? We do what Jesus did. We commit to the Father. Commit to the Father. But the Bible says in Luke 23:46, that Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. What was Christ doing in this moment? He was submitting his spirit and his will to his Father in heaven to fulfill the bigger purpose and the greatest purpose of all, which is forgiveness of all sin. Ever since I became a father, I just understand things that God does so much more. I understand God as a father. And, you know, years back, me and my wife adopted the most beautiful little girl of all time. Her name's Valencia Wilson. We love her. She is awesome. But I remember the early days. I actually remember the first week that she lived in our household. We didn't even speak the same language. I spoke English. She spoke Creole. It was something else. And she didn't know me as her father. She didn't even know me as dad. Dad was my name. And I'll never forget the first week of her being there. You know, my wife was working. She had went out and it was just me and Baba. You could imagine how crazy that was. She didn't speak the language. I didn't speak her language. I was trying to learn. So I picked up a couple words here and there. But I remember the first time I had to be real firm. And it was dinner time. And at that point, and me and Baba's brief history at that point, all she wanted to eat was cereal. But it was dinner time. She ate cereal for breakfast. She probably ate cereal for lunch, but it was dinner time. And I had prepared, I was trying to be the best dad in the world. I had prepared a dinner of some lovely chicken nuggets, lovely little vegetables on the side. But I made chicken nuggets, okay? I made them. It was good. And I put the chicken nuggets in front of her. I said, "All right, Baba, come sit. Come eat." You know, trying to speak my best Creole. It was terrible. And she looked at my plate of chicken nuggets, and she said, "Mm-mm, I don't want that. I want," and she had a little accent at the time. She was like, "I want cereal." It's like, you want cereal? You want cereal? Yeah, I want cereal. I said, no, it's dinner time. Cereal's for breakfast. We ain't eating cereal right now. We eating chicken nuggets. She said, No, Dad, cereal. No cereal right now. Chicken nuggets." So she scoffed at my chicken nuggets. She turned her head. She raised her nose and batted her eyes at my chicken nuggets. And I knew at this point in history, if I don't take a stand right now, I'm going to have problems with this child for the rest of my life. I said, "Baby girl, I know you want cereal." "Yes, Daddy, yes." No. "No cereal right now. You need to sit down here. Come on, sit. And you know, I like when kids don't want to do something, they move real slow. So she was like taking little baby steps. So I like, "Come on, sit. Sat. Okay. Time to eat these chicken nuggets." And she looked at me, realizing that I wasn't going to budge. She looked me in my eyes, and I could see the waterworks just welling up in her eyes. Her eyes got big. She looked at me with this, and like you know, kids think they slick. They try to give you that little sad look, and they think you're gonna bust. She tried to play the cue card on me, y'all. I was like, "All right, you gotta eat these chicken nuggets." She was like, "But Daddy," and she blinked her eyes at me. I said, "No, Daddy, nothing. Chicken nuggets." Next thing I know, all the water started to well up in her eyes, and I heard the loudest outburst. It was like, "Bah! Ah!" I had now seen my baby girl's first tantrum. She was throwing a fit because I wanted her to eat chicken nuggets. She wanted to eat cereal. But y'all, you'd be so proud of me. I stood my ground and I said, "You could cry all you want to. You could sit beside it, but another meal ain't coming to you till you eat these chicken nuggets." Stood my ground and she picked up the nugget. I knew she was hungry. She picked up the nugget. She took a little bite of the nugget And she couldn't speak in English yet, but I actually understood these words when she said them. She bit the nugget and she looked at me and she bit it again. She looked at me and she said, chicken nugget, c'est bon. I said, bon? Oh, it's good. Chicken nugget is good. I know chicken nugget is good. If you listen to that, you'd have had chicken nuggets from the beginning, but you won't say that out. And she bust up them chicken. I'll never forget it. She's been crushing nuggets ever since. Now, what happened there? She had to go through a breakdown. She literally lost it. She had to go through a breakdown. But as a father, I knew that I had to stand my ground, because if she listened to me, I know the thing that she was fighting against was actually the best thing for her. I want somebody to hear me when I say this. I knew she had to go through a breakdown in order for her to have a breakthrough. So as a good father, I had to break bad in my daughter's life for her own good. You see, this is the message of the gospel. This is how God the Father looks at us. You see, the only reason that you have a breakdown is because God the Father wants to break the bad in your life so that you can have a breakthrough. Jesus broke bad for our own good. For over 2,000 years ago, Jesus broke bad. He broke sin on the cross for our life once and for all. And when he said that it was finished, everything from our past, present, and future that we've ever done or ever will do was eradicated. Because if he had not took a stand to break bad, then we would never be able to get to the good. You see, we couldn't achieve this goodness. That's why the psalmist says in Psalms 51:10, where we started, you will never reject a broken spirit and a repentant heart, oh God. You see, God does not look for you to come to him whole. He does not look for you to come to him with all the answers. He's looking for you to come to him broken. You may be in a place right now where you say, I'm stressed out and I'm about to break down. You're in the perfect position, if you're broken down, to have a breakthrough. You see, it's not about your sacrifice. It's about your spirit. Because if your spirit is broken, there's room for Jesus to come and put it back together.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.